Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 7th of June, recording at 9:18 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first day back, and my first audio since the 25th of May. So it's good to be back. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And stock markets, well, it's pretty well all red. The Asian stock markets were weak following Friday's close on Wall Street. And the European stock markets started weak, pared back the gains, moved to the plus column in a few instances, but then moved back into the minus column as Wall Street weakened. Now, these are not anything like the declines we saw on Friday, but a number of them are over 1% in Europe, and the U.S. indices all closed, or the three major indices, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ, all closed down over 1%, and the NASDAQ composite was actually down just over 2%. Now, long-dated government bonds strengthened once again against that background. The dollar was quite firm, as was sterling, and the yen was even stronger. That came late in the day, that yen strength, and it's pretty much moving in line with our more inversely with Wall Street. So when Wall Street was up on the day, the yen had softened, but as Wall Street weakened towards its lows of the day, the yen rallied. Now, let's see, industrial metals were mostly down in here today, although I see nickel was up a little bit. Crude oil slipped back to 70.91, but natural gas, which has been in form recently, was up again here today. The grain and bean complex was mostly weaker, and now, main highlights in the industrial and agricultural commodities, precious metals, though. That's the real story here today. Gold is quite strong, although off its highs, but it's currently trading at $12.41, so that's only $9 below last month's high. Silver, which had been soft recently, but had a strong rebound today, up 87 cents. And I think only platinum was down on the day, but off its lows by about $20. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, fear remains very much in the air as far as global stock markets are concerned. Now, when I did my last audio before going on holiday on the 25th of May, that was a Tuesday, I said that things were sharply oversold in the short term and that we had scope for at least a short-term rally. Well, and I also wrote that in my copy on that day. Well, fortunately, we did get that short-term rally. But when I read about and Friday's sell-off and then saw the dynamics on the charts, I thought, well, that's clamped a lid over the rally, and today's weakness actually reaffirms that there is some significant resistance, or that some significant resistance was hit on Friday. And we have to say that the balance of evidence favors the bears here in the short term, because all the fear indices are actually increasing right now. The VIX, for instance, is edging higher once again. I think it closed up around 37 or 38. The TED spread is widening a little bit further. That indicates that banks are less less willing to lend to banks. What banks want to do is, banks don't want to lend to customers either. They just want to lend money to their central bank. Stock markets, as I mentioned, are underperforming here once again. The long-dated government bond action has been very strong, so there certainly has been a flight to that relative safety. Now, in some respects, the strength of the bunds, we can understand that because Germany's fiscal position is better than that of the other European countries in Euroland, but it's not a roaring positive in my view. The U.S. Treasuries, well, the U.S. stock market has been a relative performer. Although it's down a little bit this year, S&P, for instance, is down, as of today's close, it's down 5.8% this year. But most other stock markets of any consequence are down considerably more, as you'll see from a very interesting summary that Owen has produced here in today's copy. But the flight out of Mediterranean bonds, which we can easily understand, but then straight into, let's say, UK gilts and even US treasuries, strikes me as being a little bit analogous to people fleeing a flaming house and moving into the questionable safety of the house immediately next door. Or in the case of the U.S. Treasuries, one or two houses further down the row, but not immune to the same problems. I suppose the logic of that is that it may be more instinctive than analytical, in the sense that these investors want to remain or need to remain for whatever reasons. In long-dated government paper, and so they're looking for what they feel is currently the least unattractive long-term government paper, or maybe they don't view it as unattractive at all on a rationalization, and are just more focused on the deflationary fears that we're actually seeing. Now, that's all understandable in the short term, and from a trading perspective, one should always go with the trend momentum while it remains consistent. And these long-dated government bond prices have been consistently strong, as fear indicators have indicated that investor concerns are rising. Now, that may continue in the short term, probably will, judging from most of the technical evidence that I'm seeing right now. But when that does change, there's likely to be a fairly swift and significant denouement in terms of weaker long-dated government bond prices, because people are, at the moment, not looking beyond the short-term deflationary fears, the short-term flight to relative safety, and they're not looking beyond those factors and considering the long-term inflationary impact of all this quantitative easing, which has been unprecedented and continues. Now, that leads us straight back to the gold story, and gold is very much in form here right now. Gold is either at new all-time highs or very close to all-time highs against virtually all the world's fiat currencies. And veteran subscribers will remember that I've often said that to do really well, gold needs to perform against all currencies, and it's certainly doing that right now. And not least against the resources currencies, which had been relative towers of strength until recently, when we've seen the very sharp reactions in the prices of so many industrial metals. Now, can gold go it alone? Because there aren't many things and many other things that are showing relative strength. One of them is the UK cocoa contract due to supply fears in terms of African production of cocoa. That's where the UK contract supply is sourced, whereas the I believe the US sourcing of cocoa is in South America and Central America. Now, the outlook in terms of gold, first, the chart action is very favorable, and I'm never one who's going to stand in front of the chart action. What's interesting here, or stand in the way of the chart action, I would always give that the benefit of the doubt while it persists. So looking at gold, we had a reaction low on Friday before Wall Street started to weaken, and that was just below the $1,200 level. And any traders who are looking at futures and are currently long or considering a long position, really from a trading perspective, I would not be concerned unless gold did close below that reaction low that we saw on Friday. And it would have to do that to indicate more than temporary resistance near last month's high at 1250. Of course, for the long-term investors who are holding gold bullion or gold shares, I would not be concerned unless the overall upward trend began to deteriorate. But we're certainly not seeing that, and we haven't seen that really for quite some time. Now, I have been concerned that gold was late in the cycle. That's true relative to its other medium-term uptrends, not in terms of its overall cyclical bull market. I maintain that we're no more than halfway through that, probably in terms of both time and possibly also price. But we have seen the weakness of palladium, which had been the cycle leader, and also platinum, which had performed so well. It is the industrial uses of those metals which are weighing on sentiment. But gold, of course, also has some industrial uses, but the investment demand is clearly very much in charge at this stage. And well, we last saw a big shakeout in gold in the second half of 2008, and that, of course, though, was the background against which investors were pretty much discounting a depression environment. Would we get could we get that again? I doubt it, although my feeling is that the more stock markets weaken, the riskier that does become for gold in the short term, not necessarily the long term, because that weakness of stock markets, particularly to the extent that it reflects concern over economic weakness, will also lead to further quantitative easing, which brings us back to the gold bull story against fiat currencies. So I very much maintain what I think I also said on Tuesday the 25th, which was my last update, that gold isn't going to go up every single day, that's for sure, but it has been the outstanding performer. Really, for the last decade, it is still very much within its secular bull market, Judging from all the technical action that we can see, it has had a consolidation in recent weeks, so it's less overextended than it was at, when it reached 1250 last month. And I think that even if gold were to pull back down, take out that last little reaction low on Friday, just below the $1,200 level, that I feel quite strongly that gold would still maintain its relative strength against not only most other commodities, but also but also stock markets. So it could fall in absolute terms, but probably not relative to the Dow, which is one of the stronger stock market indices in terms of relative performance here today. And what about silver? I think we'd need to see a close probably below that $17 level to indicate pattern deterioration. And if gold moves to the upside, silver has more often than not performed as a high beta gold, and I wouldn't be surprised if it did it once again. So, good to be back. All the best to all of you.